We're all familiar seeing guide dogs out on the streets going from A to B with their owners. But do you ever think about how the dogs keep their owners safe, sometimes even life-saving? Tim Stafford is the Principal Officer for Canine Affairs at Guide Dogs. The amount of training that goes into dogs, I think, is phenomenal. And we probably, as I say, think about avoiding obstacles, getting you from A to B, but safety plays a big part in that. And that training does take a long time.
It really does. We've got from the little puppies that we place with our puppy raisers aged 8 weeks old, it's around about a 2 year period from that period of time until they can be ready to be partnered and qualified with somebody with sight loss. So the first 12 months spent out in the community with volunteer puppy raisers, learning all about the sights and the sounds and the different situations they might encounter as a guide dog. And we're so indebted to those volunteers who take puppies into their homes and turn them into the well-adjusted young adult dogs that we receive back for formal training. But once they come back to us, our professional trainers then take their time to get to know the dog and start to build that dog's skills, teach them how to be a guide dog in all of these different situations that they might find themselves in.
I've just qualified with a new dog, and you know, when you're out and about on the streets, there's obstacles everywhere. There's people, but anyway, you know, there's obstacles like bins and trolleys and lampposts and cars on pavements and all sorts. So the work they have to do just to stop us bumping into those or making sure we get round obstacles, it blows my mind every time, you know, and I'm on my fourth guide dog now.
We call it a partnership for a reason, because both dog and owner have got their distinct roles within that relationship. You work together as a team, you navigate the environment together. The dog is there as an obstacle avoider, stopping at curbs, making sure that you don't hit or connect with the people and the obstructions, the lampposts, the wing mirrors off cars, the overhanging bushes, all of those things that are out and about when you're traveling with your dog. Of course, the dog is trained to avoid all of those things. And meanwhile, you as the person, you're doing the encouragement, giving the feedback to the dog, recognizing when the dog is perhaps his attention is being drawn to something that he shouldn't be getting into, doing something about that, praising and encouraging, and recognizing the environment so that you're reading the dog's movements and you're starting to interpret through the dog's movements what might be happening. If you're heading into a busy shopping street, you can anticipate there's going to be a lot of people around and the dog's going to have to really start focusing and really concentrate because there's so much more to do. But then you go into the back streets and it'll be quieter, and the chances are both of you can relax that little bit more.
The reason I wanted to talk to you, Tim, was there was a piece in the news. This was from the West Country. It was a guide dog owner crossing at a zebra crossing, and not to put too fine a point on it, the dog, in many people's opinion, saved the person's life. Maybe you could tell us about the situation.
I saw the video. It went live on social media. There was a video from a person's dash cam. They were travelling in a vehicle behind the bus. A guide dog owner was crossing a zebra crossing, you know, the black and white stripes going across the roads. The bus was approaching and simply, for whatever reason, we don't understand why at this stage, didn't stop and just travelled through the zebra crossing. Guide dog owner was clearly unaware of the approaching bus, but the dog put the brakes on, stopped on the crossing point, bus continued on its journey, and then the dog carried on afterwards. So from the video that I watched, a classic example of what we teach for. You know, we teach those behaviours to our dogs, those emergency stop procedures for the times when the worst might happen and an error of judgment is made by either the driver or the guide dog owner. You know, if you're trying to cross a road, with the best will in the world, there'll be times when you misjudge traffic, particularly now with silent vehicles and so on. It's so much harder crossing roads today than it would have been even 5 or 10 years ago. And so we teach the dogs a behaviour which will hopefully, fingers crossed, keep everybody safe.
Indeed. You know, when you're at a zebra crossing, you can hear traffic coming, but you expect it to stop because you're on the crossing. I think it really shows the life-saving, if you like, skills that the dogs have as well. And I know when we're learning, you know, the joke always is, you know, they'll say, right, you know, Alan, we're going to do traffic today, and someone from Guide Dogs is going to get in the van, and you're going to cross the road, and they're going to drive at you. The dog is going to disobey you. It's not going to go forward because it sees the obstacle coming up. And, you know, it stops you stepping out in front of a car. And similarly, in that situation, crossing the road, vehicle coming towards them, the dog just stops. That is probably the most amazing piece of training, in my opinion, as a guide dog owner. Life-saving, injury-saving.
Most dogs in any walk of life, whether they're working dogs or pet dogs, of course, we want them to do as we tell them to do. You know, if you tell them to sit, you want them to sit. If you tell them to lay down, you want them to lay down. But with a guide dog owner, we're much more inclined to ask rather than tell, because there are times the dog has to have the autonomy to say, actually, no, it's unsafe. So whilst crossing the roads is actually the guide dog owner's responsibility to make that judgment call, you know, to listen to the traffic, assess when it's safe to go. We would then ask the dog to go forward, but it's very much an ask and not a tell, because by asking the dog, we're giving them permission to check it's safe. And if you're happy, I'm happy, we'll cross together. But that's very much an ask and not a tell signal to the dog. During a road traffic crossing, say you get caught out like this person did on the pedestrian crossing, we also teach the dogs an emergency stop procedure. So if you're traveling on the road, or maybe a classic example is actually walking across something like a garage forecourt where there's not a curb to stop you. So you're traveling along the pavement, a car swings into the garage forecourt across the pavement. We need to teach the dogs to stop in those scenarios and then continue when it's safe to do so.
Phenomenal story. And I have to say, Jason is great with his near and far traffic. He's very good at that, and I'm very grateful that he just goes,
keep you safe then.
We're not doing this today. No, we'll do it in a little while. But yeah. I just wanted to highlight, Tim, I think that part of the training, because I think it's something which, you know, a lot of people actually don't know about, and I think it's really important to just spotlight that.
It's one of those unique things from guide dogs. It's something that I don't see replicated in most other working dog organisations. This ability to actually hear the command from the owner and then say, no, I don't think so. And the dogs have our permission to say so as well, and we have to listen to them too.
Absolutely. And reward them afterwards as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Forget that. It's an ongoing story at the moment. No doubt we'll hear more about this as time goes on. But if people would like to find out more about guide dogs, you know, where they want to get involved with the charity, volunteering, all that kind of thing, or perhaps they or they may know someone who may benefit from some of the services, how do they get in touch?
Absolutely. Website's probably the easiest to go to, www.guidedogs.org.uk. And you'll go through onto the website and you'll find information, whether that's somebody who wants to support our work through a donation, volunteering for us, or indeed, as you say, approaching us for services. If we can help somebody, that's what we're here to do.
Tim, thank you very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks so much, Alan. It's been a pleasure.